special with needing to order. Budget amendment number one, assistant district attorney salary adjustments. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Jared Donaldson, second.
Second.
Walter, discussion? All right, all those in favor then?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? So carried. Budget amendment number two, CSCA personnel adjustments. Can I have a motion? And Walter, second. Can I have a second? Is that Chair Donaldson? Discussion? Legislator Bartels? No. Okay. All those in, Legislator Rock?
Thanks. I'm just, you know, for the record, I'm going to be a no on this. You know, the DA, I think, came with some compelling arguments, but without a without a desk audit to determine that these are the proper titles for, you know, for these particular positions, I just can't support it. You know, there's you know, like I said, too many times, like I said in the first meeting, too many times I feel like, you know, these you know, personnel changes are done willy-nilly without the personnel department doing the proper you know, desk audits and procedures for them, and I can't support them outside of that any longer.
So to refresh my memory, did the district attorney, when Legislator Ronk, you brought that up, the district attorney did consent to doing desk audits, correct?
I thought so.
I think that he said he wouldn't be opposed to doing them, but once you change the position, what's the purpose of the desk audit? We're not going to change the positions back. To me, it's cart before the horse if we approve this amendment.
Any other discussion? Legislator Walter?
Yeah. I mean, I think my understanding was that he was seemed as supportive overall in that process. But in terms of these, I feel like he does understand what these people are doing and what the appropriate titles are for what they're doing. And, you know, I think he knows when a legal secretary is doing legal secretary work, and so I feel comfortable with these changes.
Legislator Rock?
I mean, yeah, due respect to Legislator Walter, but that equates to taking the district attorney's word for it, which, you know, is just not, it's a bridge too far for me to reclassify a position under that, under the auspices of essentially taking somebody's word for something, respectfully.
Legislator Walter?
Respectfully, we do that all the time in the executive's office.
I oppose those, ma'am.
Any other comments? All right, all those in favor? Opposed?
I'm opposed.
Two opposed? Three opposed. All right, I'll be in favor. Number three, Office of Violence Against Women's Grant.
I'll move it.
Second. Chair Donaldson, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Number four, Deputy Director of Environment. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Chair Donaldson, second. Legislator Bartels, discussion? Legislator Ronk?
I was going to be brief. I'm going to be a no on this, not because I don't understand that there's compression there, but I was against the position that was created that created the compression. So, you know, to be consistent with that, absent the new position being created, there wouldn't be the compression there.
Any other discussion? Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I just have to look it up because I have too many computers. I'm looking up on hard copy right now. So my one question I have about this is, does this create, where are we at? Maybe somebody can look it up for me quickly. Deputy Director here, Deputy Director of the Environment right now, 61,771 going to 70,271. The director of the environment gets 76,859. Like that to me, you know, I just feel like we're moving. I'd like to know what the executive's office has to say about that compression issue, because this compression issue that they're talking about is the environmental planners at 75.3. So they're moving this 61 and the senior environmental techs at 64, but we've got there's a lot of compression in that office already. So I'm curious about the director of the environment position and if there's any intention to change that salary.
Don Burke, so you guys
Tracy, you first referred to the environmental planner at 75. You have to remember that has steps included in that.
Okay.
And not at this time will we entertain, you know, to increase the director. But I think, you know, looking at management throughout is kind of a priority going into this year.
And so the compression issue that you're correcting with this is the compression with the senior environmental tech, is that?
It is the environmental planner, and actually there's a couple of them that would be at base over the 61,000.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of found a space in between, and that, again, didn't want to reach all the way to the director of environment.
Okay. I mean, I know that the director of the environment did not get the salary increase last year. And I know, that was my resolution that kept those increases from going forward, despite the fact that that was the one position I felt really was overtly deserving of it, knowing how many millions were brought into the county by the person who held that position at that time. But I feel like we're facing another compression issue pretty quick by moving the deputy director up to 70 and having the director at only 76.
So I could just add one thing. Anytime we're talking about compression issues, it's important when you're looking at civil service and other positions that you're looking at the entry level. Bert said that, but I just want to clarify that you're not looking at steps, because with management, longevity is an added it's added in the beginning of the year. It's not part of their salary, so you don't see it in here. So you got to look at entry level. We don't believe that there's compression between the director and the deputy director.
But how am I supposed to look at it when this is what I've got? You're saying you're supposed to look at information you're not providing me?
Basically, you're right. The director's the director's salary is $76,859, and we're proposing $70,271. So there is a difference roughly of $6,500.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there is a gap there. I guess down the road it would be if the deputy continued to get an increase, then you'd have a compression issue. Right now there wouldn't be.
What's the gap between that what's the gap now between, taking into consideration what Mark just mentioned, between that 70,251 and the position you're trying to create the distance between?
Right. I'm looking up what that base rate is. Give me a second here. And make sure I'm in the right year. It would be $66,575. So that, you know,
is that the environmental planner?
That's the grade 17. Yes, the environmental planner.
66,575, you said?
Yeah.
Right. Which is overseen by the deputy.
Yeah, obviously. That would be the entry level of that position.
Okay.
I'm a little confused. I'm seeing here that it's being, that environmental planner is being proposed at 75.3.
That's because they have steps included in that salary. If it was entry level, it would be 66,575.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Maybe just one suggestion for innovation and the idea of transparency in the budget. Maybe there's a way moving forward where we can separate that out so we can see base level salaries when we're looking at the budget separate from the steps and the longevity.
Tracy, I hear what you're saying. It's probably a good idea. That way, it just take a little work, but we can get it done.
Okay. Thank you.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Mr. Rock? Thank you. Number five, share personnel upgrade.
Could I just clarify just one no to the last one?
One no.
Okay, thank you. Wrong.
Share personnel upgrade. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second, Legislator Walter, discussion. Legislator Rock?
I'm just pleased that the sheriff did a desk audit here. I'll be happy to support it.
Thank you. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Number six, Sheriff Port Security Grant. Have a motion? Legislator Bartel, second. Orchard, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Number eight, ARPA positions. Can I have a motion? Legislator Haynes, second.
Second.
Legislator Ronk, discussion.
What are we voting on at this point?
This is to reduce the positions back to the salary of 2021, which they were just hired.
I forgot the number seven.
I did. I'll go back in a second. I see that.
And I requested the resumes of or the information. I think somebody else did earlier. I'm yet to see those. And I mean, these are supposed to be specialty positions. Oh, there goes. Oh, wow. Somebody's coming to the house, apparently. Anyway, what I'm doing is I requested the resumes of these people that are hired, and I've not gotten them.
Have already started working here or aren't here for confirmation?
So would I be able to, Bert? Or somebody, can they be sent to the legislature? I mean, this is supposed to be specialty type of positions, and I would like to know, you know, the qualifications of the people that they're putting in there.
So we sent over the names. I don't know that we've typically sent over resumes of those who have been hired for other positions if they're not to be appointed by the legislature. So in terms of past practice, I'd just be curious to know when this has occurred in the past.
I don't think we've hired specialty people in this manner before. This is for a special program. And the whole point was we wanted to make sure that the people that are hired are not basically political acts, but they're actually people that are, you know, educated towards this or has that background towards this type of work.
I think the difference here is it sounds like the chairman has also said he requested the information and hasn't received it. So I don't think we're asking for this as a common practice, but he says he requested it, so we should have received it.
No, we sent over the names, and that was an earlier request, and we're still reviewing the request for resumes so we can review past practice, because it's not something that's commonly requested when we hire for other positions. So we're confirming.
I don't need to be double talked. The point was, I asked for the resumes. It's all I want was the resumes. I think that's a reasonable request.
Sounds like there's
people that are being hired.
Legislator Walter, you had your hand up.
So, is this the 3% across the board increase thing? So, you know, I understand that. The concept is you give a 3% across the board, and it could be that they're hired the last day of 2021, and they still, but like that's your choice. You don't have to give the 3% increase to everyone, and it seems kind of silly to be giving a raise to a group of people who haven't actually gotten hired yet, or if they have, like they just started. So, you know, I get that you want to give a 3% across the board to these confidential management positions, management confidential or whatever they're called. But again, it's not law. And so I just don't see why you would be doing this.
Bartels and Rock.
I'm confused. Isn't this lowering the salaries based on the number of days? What's happening exactly?
It's keeping it at the hired salary, which was just recently for some, and I don't even know if all of them have been hired, but this is to keep it, since we're close enough to the end of the year, they would keep that salary. It's bringing it back down to what they made when they were first hired recently.
The salary that was approved by the legislature.
Correct.
So what is the 3% we're talking about that Eve's raising?
The amount that it's increased.
I'm saying I'm agreeing with this amendment because I don't see the reason to give them a 3% raise already.
Legislator Ronk and then Chair Donaldson.
No, I was just I was going to be a pain in the rear end, and that's not necessary today. It's fine.
Wow. Okay, Chair Donaldson.
Yeah, can I get back to the qualifications of the people that were hired? I'd like to see what they are.
I think the answer was no, Dave.
The answer is no, then maybe we need to take all the positions out of the budget. I mean, if we don't know what they are, if they're hiring them, and what their qualifications are, why would we do that? I mean, my mindset is this is a certain qualification should have been met, and I'd like to know what they were. I have no idea. I just said all I simply did was ask for the resumes, and I'm a little aggravated that you couldn't give them to me. I don't care what past policy is, and there are past policies that there we often get resumes of people that are being hired. And in this case, where I requested it, I don't think it's a big request, and I'm a little aggravated that it's not given to me. I mean, it makes no sense not to hand it over. I mean, if these people are meant to be, they're that good, that's why they're hired, and we should be able to see the resume.
All right, Legislator Haynes, and then Chris, you guys can go. Legislator Haynes.
Just to be clear, this was. I got a little bit confused, like Tracy, actually. This is to give them a 3% increase from the salary. All right, go ahead, John.
No, it's to back it back down from the 3% that was proposed in the budget. It would keep it at what they were hired at most recently. All right, and Chris, you guys go ahead.
So to the first point, the raise goes to the position, not the person, and this happens universally, whether it's CFCA or management. So when we're going through the list, if there's vacant titles, they also got the raise, and that includes every single union we've negotiated with. To the second point on the resume, we did not say no to the request. We said we're reviewing it because it hasn't been part of our past practice. So we're evaluating the request, and we'll get you an answer. We did not say no.
All right, well, then I
have a... Hold on. Chair, Legislator Walter, go first, then you're next, then Legislator Bartels.
So I understand it's the policy, but are you mandated to give a 3% increase to management confidential? Is that what you're saying? Because I understand with unions and they negotiate, but whose decision is it to give a 3% raise? I don't, even if it's to a position, the position's brand new. And so, I mean, I would agree even if the position was old and the person was brand new, but isn't it your choice to give a 3% across the board? I mean, at a state level, they don't give a 3% across the board to every management confidential position. So it's just your choice to do it, right?
So we manage a workforce of 1,300 employees. And when we're looking at these in broad categories, we apply the 3% raise to all management, whether it was vacant or not. So that was the approach we take. And that's the approach we take with CSCA, UXA, or any of the other unions. It's consistency. So I get what you're saying. Yes, I guess it would have been our choice, but we are trying to have consistency across the workforce. So that's why I put in. State will do the same, yeah.
For Donaldson, then.
Well, this is, I think, as Legislator Walter pointed out, this is a new position. These are special positions that we're hiring. So why would we okay it at one number and then give a 3% raise, 2 weeks later? So I agree with, I support the amendment, but if I don't get a resume, I'm going to put in an amendment now. I'll let you know, Chair Gavars, that to eliminate the three positions.
All right, Legislator Bartels.
I'm sorry, it just took me a minute to just untangle and understand this, but I guess I just want to say thank you for identifying this, whoever identified this, because it doesn't make any sense to me to give someone who hadn't even taken a position a raise when the legislature just approved this salary. So I definitely support this amendment. That's it.
Leslie Archer.
I would just say that if the chairman of the legislature is interested in seeing the resume for the people that we're hiring for this important position, and you're evaluating whether or not he can have their resume, it really gives me great pause. Are we working together or are we not? I mean, we have gotten resumes attached to other resolutions where people are being presented. I am unclear as to what the big issue is with unless there's something you're hiding and you don't want us to see it. I'm a little baffled by this and disappointed.
Did I say it wrong?
Probably, you know, this doesn't happen very often. I don't know that Lynn could have said it any better than I'm not sure I could say it any better than Lynn just said it, is what I'm trying to say. My question was going to be exactly how long does it take to evaluate a request from the chair of the legislature? I mean, we're evaluating it and we'll let you know our answer is kind of, you know, I don't know. That seems a little odd coming from the administration, but it's an odd stance to take to me.
Chris?
But typically resumes are sent over when positions are up for confirmation by the legislature. These positions were created by the legislature, but they're not up for confirmation by it. So in terms of running the operations of the county, we do try to have some consistency in how we apply that. I understand the request. We're certainly looking at it. But that's pretty much all we'll have to say on it today.
All right, Legislator Bartels, then Archer, then Donaldson.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that you send over all the resumes. I mean, this is definitely a unique situation. I appreciate the idea of precedent, but, you know, the county is receiving $34 million, and the legislature, in partnership with the executive office, is tasked with directing those funds. And these are the people that the executive's office has said are going to be working directly with the legislature. So it would just be very helpful to just see their resumes. Thank you.
Legislator Archer?
It's already been addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Donaldson?
Well, I find it all pretzel logic because it's a simple thing. You're saying you're evaluating whether you're going to give the information to the legislature about people that you're hired for a specialty project that we okay. So, I mean, my mindset is, if I don't get the resumes, then I'm just going to put in an amendment on the floor with a budget to eliminate the three positions. We probably should do it anyway and hire a consultant, and then we'll know what we got.
Enough
for me on that. So, if you want to call the vote on this, Chair.
Yeah, any other discussion then? All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed? Legislator Mayo. Legislator Archer? I'm sorry, Bartels, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to ask, did we skip over the...
We did. I have to go back to the number seven.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Number seven, Sheriff's, the CSCA contract. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Move a second. Legislator Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Number nine, clerical pool. Do you have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second round, discussion. Let's hear Ron.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. It's odd because I'm not necessarily against the clerical pool if the, you know, constituent navigator amendment, you know, to remove it fails. But absent that, I'm not so much in favor of it. I feel like if I had clairvoyance and, you know, knew what was going to happen with the later amendment, I would know what to do on this one. I'm probably going to be a no, but I respect where it's coming from. And if we do hire these four people, you know, for the, you know, constituent navigator, I would be in favor of doing this because I think that we're going to need less staff at the department level if we're going to hire staff to do all of the departments.
And thank you. And as the sponsor of this, you know, I I was willing to withdraw it, but I figured just let it go through for discussion purposes. I would like to just impress upon the exec team that, you know, we should be looking at this as a common practice of being able to share staff. And I understand that that is being done in some respects, but I think we need to maybe expand it and come up with an actual pool that people can go to and know where to request additional help when they need it. Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I was just going to echo that. I think it's an excellent idea that is deserving of further investigation. I'm not sure about moving it right now in terms of these vacant positions. I think I would like to look at it holistically across all county departments and all those positions. And I think it's something in the coming year that we should spend some time on with the executive's office.
Let's say Walter.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I agree. I mean, I'm glad you brought this up. I think looking at shared services in general is an interesting thing. And there might be other places besides just clerical pool, but there are certain positions, especially on this, that I feel particularly protective of. I think the issue is not to merge them, but make sure we figure out how to fill them.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? All those opposed? All right, all opposed, and motion fails. Caller at 845-768-2308. Can you identify yourself?
*6 to unmute.
Apparently they didn't want to identify themselves. Okay. All right. Amendment number 10, energy consultant. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, Legislator Bartels. Legislator Bartels, do you want to speak on this or you just were seconding it? Okay. Any comments? All right, all those in favor? All those in favor, opposed? One, two opposed, three opposed, four opposed. Okay, motion is defeated. It's Pat Doxy. She's saying that she can't figure out how to make herself heard. Oh, all right. Number 11, inflationary adjustment. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Chair Donaldson, discussion. Legislator Archer,
Sorry, I'm working two computers here and I keep grabbing the wrong mouse. Can you just explain your rationale here and you came up with the 2.6? Where did that come from? I'm just curious. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm just curious as to your rationale here.
That was the projected 2022 projected inflation number from the Department of Treasury, I believe it was. Legislator Walter?
Yeah. So I really appreciate that you're examining this. I know that Bert spoke to at some point suggesting that inflation was considered in the in their estimates. I don't know, Bert, if you want to kind of say any more on that.
Yeah, I just as I spoke before, in terms of the bigger lines that are here, like gas and electric, legal services, all of those things were taken into consideration. Auto fuel, any department that had auto fuel, UCAT, Highway, we took into account the fuel prices currently, and we did increase their budget in those lines. So as I think we have budgeted for these inflated costs.
Yeah, and just give some context and historical information about this was originally you had said that it wasn't when we first got presented the budget, that wasn't taken into account. I think what you meant by that was for non-contractual items, and then you clarified that at one of our earlier meetings. So it is a smaller number. While there is still some things that inflation was not accounted for, I think it's small enough that now it's not going to have such a huge effect because most of our expenses are contractual. Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion is defeated. Number 12, information services evaluation. Can I have a motion? Legislator Archer, second. Bartels, discussion. Legislator Walter, then Martos.
Thank you. It's kind of funny. I mean, I'm saying this only in full collegiality that Legislator Gavaris, you spoke of saving more money doing stuff outsourcing IT stuff, but this is sort of looking at how we can beef up our IT. This I strongly support and agree. I think that there's a lot that we, first of all, IT demands increase all the time, but there's so much efficiency I think we can achieve if we really assessed what we have in place, built from that. I think there's a lot of systems that we outsource that we probably could do internally. I know in many major organizations, they have these strong internal IT departments that really not only handle things that we hire other companies to do, but can often operate in real time for demands, like creating software that communicate between different departments, for example. And so, you know, when CMA brought this up a year ago, I felt very strongly like this can be a true cost saver for us while improving how effective we serve.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor? Opposed? One, two opposed. All right, motion is carried. Number 13, unsettled labor union contracts. Can I have a motion? Legislator Chair Donaldson, second. Legislator Walter, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Legislator Haynes and Bartels, you're opposed. Chair Donaldson and Ronk, Archer. Okay, and I'm opposed as well. Motion is defeated. Number 14, communication specialist position. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Walter, second. Ronk, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? One, two opposed. Okay, motion is carried. Budget number 16, number 15, communication specialist salary. Can I have a motion?
I'll withdraw that.
You withdraw it? Okay. Motion has been withdrawn. Number 16, constituent service navigator. Can I have a motion?
Excuse me, can I ask a question on 14?
Yes.
That was eliminating the position, wasn't it?
Affirmative.
Sorry, I'm changing my vote. I didn't realize that was eliminating.
Oh. Then if that one's going to fail, I don't withdraw the other one.
Sorry. I think it did fail.
I forgot he had two up there.
All right, let's reopen number 14. Sorry. I have a motion to reopen number 14.
I'll make a motion to reopen it.
Second, Bartels. Sorry, now discussion. Is it wrong? You just want to clarify your... This good. You put this in correct.
I said it wrong.
I did. I don't think that, you know, as I said in the first meeting, I don't think that this is a necessary, position for county government. I think that that's partially evidenced by the Facebook post that I saw from the government Facebook page of the county executive's office, which I assume was done by the communications specialist, highlighted a letter from a young man who was vaccinated at the site to the county executive thanking him for setting up the vaccination site. Again, I think that there's a lot of self-promotion that comes from this and this position. I thought that the whole time. It's why I suggested to the county executive that he not hire somebody, because, you know, I know that people get big feelings when there's somebody in a position. Don't necessarily when the position is vacant. I don't because I had that conversation with the county executive several months ago that I was planning on having this discussion at budget time as well. I think that communicating with the public's great, but I think that this position in particular comes really close to straddling that line of what's political and what's government. And I think that there's quite a bit of political brand building and self-promotion that comes from positions like this.
I believe they have other people that do the same thing at this point. So I'm not sure how many of them he needs. I will support the amendment.
Any other discussion? All right, so just to be clear this time, if you're voting yes, it's to eliminate the position. All right, so let's say Archer.
Someone is currently in the position, correct?
Affirmative. They were hired 2 days after, they were hired in the system 2 days after the legislative meeting where we didn't eliminate this position a couple months ago.
But this is the one where we were clear about the salary, correct?
I'm sorry. Yes.
We were concerned about the salary change. This, we were very clear.
That was part of this. I mean, you know.
Okay. I'm just trying to put it in. Yeah.
Previously increased.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
you. All those in favor of eliminating the position, aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to be in favor of that as well. So it's 4-3. No, so opposed?
5-3.
Hold on, opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. No, it's 4. Yeah, so it's 4-4. The motion is defeated. All right. Mr. Ronk, do you want to revisit 15 now? Or?
I do, yeah. I will not. You know, the only reason that I had said that I was going to withdraw is because it would be moot if the previous one passed.
All right, so motion to open.
I'll move that. 15.
Second. Chair Donaldson, discussion. Legislator Walter.
So, I guess for me, and I'm not really that personally informed about what this position universally should be getting. I just know from what I'm hearing from people within my own caucus and from the examples that we've seen from other places. And so it just doesn't feel like it's the right size salary. I would really encourage the executive's office to support why this level of salary is the appropriate one, because it given the nature, and I've asked the questions about what this position does and how it works differently from the others, and how it is an increased heightened level of responsibility, skill set, et cetera, of $20,000 over what this individual did in their previous position, which also incidentally was another one of those positions where the person was put in as an accountant, even though they weren't an accountant. And so, but to then shift them over here at this higher rate, that would mean that there was a higher skill set needed, but they were at that other position. They're the same person. They didn't go to graduate school in between that position and this, that all of a sudden, you know, would put them at this heightened skill set level. And so I just, you know, I'm willing to be compelled, but I haven't been yet.
I do recall too, at the time of the discussion, I think it was you, Legislator Guevaras, that circulated a salary analysis. So we all did have in our hands at that time comps, both in the region in Hudson Valley, and even broader comps. So. It was a compelling argument that was being made at that time.
A discussion? All right. All those in favor of the reduction? Opposed? Legislator Haynes? All right. I'll be a yes, and the motion is carried. Let's see. Number 16, Constituent Service Navigator. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second Ronk. Discussion. Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So, you know, I'm so supportive of the concept. I just, as I stated before on Monday and several other times, I feel like it still needs baking. And I know that Chris you know, has expressed that this is sort of level one of level of two levels. I think that this is an ideal opportunity, as I stated on Monday, to move this, take this out of our budget, make it an ARP project, let the ARP team, there's probably a couple of different ARP groups that would be appropriate for talking about this, how it should work, what should be the skill sets. I had mentioned how, you know, having someone who has specialty in DSS would be very, very useful, because that's a very challenging thing to navigate. Most oftentimes individuals need multiple things. What I would request is that we do take it out of the budget. I'm supportive of removing it, but that we then move it into a potential ARP project, which would cover it for 2 years, allow it to grow and build, allow the legislature and department heads to have their input as to what would be really needed by this, so that we do it right. So I'm not supporting this amendment because I'm against this. I'm supporting this amendment because I'm for doing it as well as we possibly can. And I think the ARP funds allow us to really do this right.
Any other discussion? Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo some of what Legislator Walter said. I mean, in concept, I'm supportive of this, but I don't, you know, and this is kind of the case with many things in this budget. It's been a hard one for me to fully wrap my head around, given that, you know, I think you may have removed it, Legislator Gavaris, but it may still be there. We've had some discussion about the sales tax revenue estimates and concern about whether or not we're going to come in where we're anticipating. I personally feel a little more confident about that than I did earlier, as I've looked into the numbers and run 19's numbers out, you know, on 6% increases to today. And I have, confidence in Commissioner Gulnick and his track record. But that said, you know, some of these newer initiatives, I'm not sure that I yet have the confidence that we are where we need to be. So if I support this resolution, like Legislator Walter, it wouldn't be to have it be the end of the conversation, but really to have it be the beginning of the conversation moving forward into next year's terms. If the money's moved into contingency, we can continue to have that conversation in committees, and be, you know, be compelled to do this in the most appropriate manner. So that's where I'm at as well.
I somewhat agree with both legislators Walter and Bartels. Sorry, I put the S on the end of the wrong legislator's name. I don't necessarily agree with it in theory, the concept. I think that it's again, great for PR, but I think that for the operation of county governments, it's an unnecessary layer. That having been said, I do think that this is a good place for ARP funding to be used, especially since the data that Mr. Kelly sent us shows that almost no calls, comparatively, a statistically insignificant number of calls are non-COVID related right now. So we could be hiring these people, to handle general government calls, and, we're hiring more people than the number of calls we get per day that aren't COVID related. So, I think that perhaps, if that's the will of the committee, we pass this amendment and then amend the budget to include money for this in the ARP. And I'm sure we can get information from the executive's office on what the Recovery Service Center, costs, so we can figure out how to allocate the ARP money for that. Because, of course, the Recovery Service Center was never something that was envisioned by the legislature, nor passed by the legislature, nor really understood, I think, completely by the legislature.
Yeah, I actually really
I 100% support this position, these positions. I believe that anytime we invest in better communications, especially in the form of communicating with our constituencies and making it navigating easier. As for the information that came through regarding the Recovery Service Center being COVID related, it's really hard to capture data when the position hasn't been created yet. Of course, you're only going to see, you know, the type of data that's related to those calls for the services that they were currently providing. So that's my thought on that. And I'm 100% behind making something even better, more efficient, and more effective for the taxpayers.
Did I say wrong?
I think Legislator Haynes forgot the last part, you know, efficient, effective, and expensive. But I'd also like to say that, you know, the logic that Legislator Haynes just, you know, utilized sounded more like we need to pass the bill before we can read what's in it. What she's saying is that we have to spend this money before we realize how it's going to be utilized. And I can't possibly agree with that logic.
It's okay. Kenny doesn't have to agree with my logic. I don't always agree with his logic. However, when you're asking to capture data based off of a system that already exists, that data is going to show you whatever comes out of how it's currently functioning, not how it's going to be functioning in the future.
Archer?
And then to build on that, Legislator Haynes, I think that's the opportunity by moving it into an ARP project where you start to capture data necessary to then justify why you build a unit and what the value of that unit will be for the organization down the road. So, you know, I think there's real opportunity, but I think, again, putting it in ARPA gives us the ability to structure it, to inform, and to help us in the future if this is something that pans out.
Legislator Ronk and then Chair Donaldson.
Thanks. I mean, you know, again, due respect to Legislator Haynes, you know, the information was given to us by the executive's office to justify the positions. So to then say that we can't really judge it by the data, I feel like is counterintuitive to their whole argument.
Chair Donaldson.
Yes, I have to agree with the maybe moving it into the ARPA money, or I don't think even have to make the move. I mean, the ARPA money is open-ended in a sense, not totally open-ended, but there are you know, a certain amount of it being open-ended. And as a result, I mean, I don't know how this is really justified with the data that we have right now. So I'll have to agree with my colleagues that point out that we're not sure. It seems like it might be a good idea, but it seems like it's a good idea. I'm not sure if it is, and I think you know, better data to prove that it's a good idea might be a better way of going on it than maybe using some ARPA money to investigate that.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried, one opposed. Legislator Archer, how are you? You're in favor or opposed?
In favor of, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Number 17, Director of Budget and Innovation. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second.
Could you fill in what this is actually doing?
This is to create the position of Director of Budget and Innovation. No.
To defund.
Oh, this is the defunding one. Correct. Okay. This is to defund that position. I believe Red Shader.
All right, that's what I thought. I mean, I think so. I was pretty sure that's what it was, but I think some people that are listening in may not know exactly what it is, so we might want to, you know, just, you know, very briefly point out when we go to these other ones, what exactly they're doing.
But I don't have all the information at hand, Chair Donaldson, but I can try. Hopefully the sponsors themselves can speak up on it. Let's sit around.
Yeah, I'd be happy to speak up on it. This is a new position that's being created. You know, I'm not in favor of creating the new position. It's also something that the county executive tried to do mid-budget that the legislature was not in favor of doing mid-budget. So that's basically what it is. I don't agree with the creation of this position, so I put in a amendment to eliminate it.
Other discussion? Let's say Bartels.
Well, it's not exactly totally on point, but it's sort of. I, in thinking about this division, I really struggle with the increases to the rest of the division. The switch we discussed yesterday, the switch in the hours to 35 and from 35 to 37 and a half and to 40. In management positions, I mean, I appreciate that most management positions are working more than the hours that they're clocking or that they're paid for. I mean, I just know that's how management works. So I struggle, and while I struggle less with the creation of this one position than with all those changes within the department. And I'm just putting it out there. I have not put in an amendment to that effect yet, but I do, after yesterday's conversation, that's something that I'm having a hard time with.
Legislator Ronkin Walker.
I just want to be clear, Legislator Bartels, this is not a salary increase. This is a brand new position. And the, again, in the realm of, well, we're not saying who it's going to actually be. We're going to have a nationwide search, and then we all, it's going to be who we all know it's going to be.
And then we won't get their resumes.
So the position that person would vacate would then be hired for. So it's a complete addition of, $164,112.
I'm aware. Yeah.
I've heard people suggest eliminating the other position that would in theory be vacated rather and just leave this position. If legislators would rather support that than this, then that's something I could get myself on board with supporting, but I can't support both positions staying.
Right on. I'm sorry, Legislator
Walters. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Chair Donaldson, I'm sorry. Legislator Walters before you. You're up after
Legislator.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. No problem. I had requested some more information to understand the benefits of this. I've heard two things. One is sort of improve, that we have a lot going on and we have all these innovations and things that are happening, but we have three new ARP positions specifically, and much of the innovations that we're going to be doing, I think I'd feel very different if we didn't hire those three people who I was very hesitant to, I didn't support that because I felt like until we know what we're spending our ARPA money on, why are we jumping in and hiring three whole people to manage it? But, I feel like much of the great work that innovation is doing is ARP related right now. And if we got three complete other people to do that, then I don't see that point. And then the other thing I heard was this whole thing of improving our budget. And this relates to what Legislator Bartels had spoken about of the changing the salaries. The request to improve the budget was made like years ago. And it was kind of, felt like it was ignored for quite a few years. And then there were some shifts that were made last year. And then we're hearing, because we kind of ignored it for a few years and then we started to try to do it, why don't you give us a whole new person and give us more time? When I just feel like the fact is, it's not that complicated to create a five-year plan, to reach out to department heads on where they see we should be, reach out to legislature, involve us in performance metrics, and then connect budget items to performance metrics. I don't think it's that crazy. And I know it was proposed many, many years ago. And so the truth is if it hasn't been done, it's not because you don't have enough people or enough time. It hasn't been done because you haven't done it. That's how I feel. And so I would say that in addition to supporting the idea of the amendment that Legislator Bartels suggested of not accepting those changes in time. You know, I just have trouble seeing what the added benefit, how will this job save us money is what I would like to know, and I don't see it. I will say on the last point is I would be supportive of, for Legislator Ron's sake, if we did have this position and eliminate so they're not backfilling the other position, that if, you know, I feel like the work that Chris, you do is great. I think a lot of it's going to be handed off to these three R people. But, you know, I would be willing to support that other amendment.
Not necessarily Chris.
But not necessarily Chris, but the idea of having one person in this role at a heightened level would be my second choice, but I would certainly support that.
Jonathan and Chris.
Well, I wasn't sure. You know, I didn't know who is getting the position. It's not, in other words, we have rumors that this is what's going to happen. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. So in that mindset, I mean, it's a new position. I don't understand if they have somebody in mind and they said this is what they're going to do and they're moving over there, then we could eliminate the other position and then that would make sense. But I don't know that.
Chris and then Legislator Bartels.
So I just have to kind of make a major point of clarification. The innovation work is an internally focused unit. They are not working on ARP. So they are internally focused, looking at processes, procedures, instilling KPIs, health metrics. Currently, our basis for measurement is called OKRs, objectives and key results, which we've deployed throughout 8 departments. So there's a key distinction. The work that I do in budget is more related to that ARP work. That is something that is separate from what the innovation's main focus is. In terms of the last 18 months, so when COVID hit, the unit had just been formed in the 2020 budget. They were allocated to work on COVID, as was most of the county staff. So they were integral in developing the COVID-19 hotline and RSC, and I've been working that, whether part-time or whatever else, the entire duration. So some of that performance measurement work did get delayed. There was a reality that we all had to work COVID and certain innovations or certain improvements even to the budget, they had to get pushed aside because we were dealing with other things at the time. I think that as we've normalized somewhat or have been able to better balance the workloads, we're now able to get back to a lot of that work. And that's what we've done. The last point is this position existed as the director of innovation at $97,000. So we defunded it as part of cost saving measures going into 2021. So what we've done is now that it's a combined unit, it is now the director of budget and innovation to reflect how the division or as the department looks today. That's all.
What?
A couple things.
I won't.
Was it deputy director? Was it deputy director of innovation or director? It looks like it said deputy director of innovation prior. Is that correct? That's for Chris.
Yes. No, it was director.
Okay.
So this restores it to the same size that it was prior to COVID.
Okay. In the budget book that I'm looking at, it said deputy director. I see a deputy director. It's very confusing. But okay. First of all, I know Legislator Ronk is being a little bit facetious in terms of the idea of the search for this person. Don't we know who this person is going to be? I mean, I'm not.
I would say I'm being a moderate amount facetious about it, okay. But I'll accept your.
Aren't we talking about this being your position, Chris Kelly? Chris Kelly. Correct?
Okay, they're going to admit this.
I'm seeing a nod.
No, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so it's helpful because like Legislator Walter said, I do think that that you're doing a great job. And when we're thinking, when we're creating a position for an unknown, it's different than defining a position within a department for the work that you're doing. And therein might be the pull to Legislator Ronk's earlier point about not backfilling the second position. I go back to the idea of still being uncomfortable with these change in hours. I know that departments have used that as they've used the alternative work schedule sometimes as ways of increasing salary. We had that. We don't have to revisit the past with another division, another elected division, but we had that happen in the past. And I know that that's come up before. I do have a question about this division, and I'm sorry. I know this is not necessarily what's exactly on our plate at this moment, but I have been looking at part-time pay, overtime pay, trying to make sense of all these things in a crunch over the last couple of days. And I noticed that the innovation division has $10,000 in new expense to part-time pay in addition to the proposed additional person and the additional hours. What is that for?
We were going to use interns to help with the innovation part of that.
So we were looking at like SUNY New Paltz and Marist for on the data side.
Okay. Okay.
Is that step two in the voluntold workforce?
We have stricken paid volunteers from the record, Legislator Ron.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other discussion, Legislator Walter?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would like to hear from the executive's office. You know, we have two options on the table. We could support getting rid of this, or we could support this and get rid of the deputy position. And so, I mean, do you want to just leave it to lottery, or do you want to, I mean, chime in on this? Did you?
We'll take it back to the county executive. I mean, he proposed the budget as we felt like we needed the workforce that we needed. So we feel like we need both positions.
So why don't you, does the committee want to hold this and maybe they can get the county executive on the line and, you know, work it out before the end of the meeting? Or
I mean, feel free to pass this or not through this committee. We're not going to bring it back to the executive during this meeting.
Fair enough. Let's move forward.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Legislator Bartels, you're opposed?
This is okay. I need clarification. So right now what we're voting on is removing
the position.
Director position, eliminating the director.
The only one we have in front of us. Yeah. We don't have the other option.
Right. But I mean, we can put another option in front of us. We can even put the intent in front of us before, you know, we can, if we're having that discussion, if that's where the consensus is, you know, we can have a resolution drawn up for the day that we're voting on the budget as well. So.
Right. Either way, this is going to go forward. So, I mean, and be voted on by the legislature. So I feel like without having that, you know, the other situation, Legislator Ron had both right there. But because it doesn't, I feel like we have just this to deal with now, and we can always vote differently on the floor.
Yeah, I mean
if after the county executive staff presents him with the other option that's been raised by this committee, if he chooses to, you know, be, you know, comfortable with that, then we can maybe have a different discussion. But, you know, again, I'm coming in the spirit of what I feel is like compromise.
I appreciate that. And again, it's like, I don't want to, I realize it's not officially on the table yet, but again, I'm not comfortable with the hour changes in this department either. These are significant. They come across as significant, I'll call them raises, but increases in salary across this whole department in a way that's more substantial than almost anywhere else in the organization.
They are true then, Chair Donaldson.
I am a yes on this, but if we put the other resolution in, I am in support of keeping this and not filling the deputy position. So I'm just being clear that if there we have options on the table and we put in an amendment, that's where I would come out on.
Chair Donaldson and Legislator Haynes.
I agree with Legislator Archer. I mean, I think that would make sense. I also agree with Legislator Bartels, and I think that perhaps Amber can draw up an amendment to address that.
Legislator Haynes, and then Bartels.
I agree with Legislator Archer as well.
Right. Legislator Bartels.
Thanks. I was going to say, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at also. So I would ask Amber to write that resolution because I would feel more comfortable with that than with this.
Do you want to make an amendment now or to this resolution or?
We could do that. That would be to remove the deputy director of innovation position, correct?
No, I don't know if you want to do that. I think they can do that. We can do that prior to, after a conversation with the executive. But I meant for your, what you were brought up was to return them to the 35 hours.
Yeah.
I think that was the amendment.
We could do it as a holistic resolution, though.
Okay.
I mean, that's possible, too.
All right, Legislator Walter, and then Ronk.
No, I'm
good. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I just want to be clear. You know, I feel like I'm coming here in the spirit of cooperation. If the executive's office, you know, if the executive decides that he's planning on opposing both this and the, you know, not backfilling of the previous position, I would prefer us move forward with this because I feel like a compromise is met by both sides. I don't feel like a compromise is that, you know, that is going to be criticized as a compromise. Fair enough. I just want to make that clear for everybody.
I think that's what we were doing, isn't it? We're just moving forward on this resolution. And then if after a conversation, if they want to make that change, we'll be open to making the change to just eliminate the deputy. In the budget and put this one in. So I think that's we're all in agreement with that. And what we're trying to do is the other issue is the increasing the salary by increasing hours that Legislator Bartels brought. So I think that needs to be amended here. And I mean, we can do it right now, that matter. I think Amber, how long does it take you to draw that up?
I can absolutely draw that up. So the just to clarify, the request would be to defund the Deputy Director of Innovation, which is position 1017, leaving the Deputy Budget Director. And then we're leaving the Director of Budget and Innovation.
Right now we are just doing where we eliminated that position basically, and that'll change if in the future possibly. What I'm talking about is the hours that Legislator Bartels brought up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm asking for.
Yeah, I can absolutely do that.
So you could have that in the numbers, and then we could vote on the concept of that. What, once she has it up, it'll be a more concrete. But I mean, I think we would be able to vote on that here, right?
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with doing them as two separate resolutions, and I'm also okay for waiting to hear back from the executive's office about whether or not there is a spirit of compromise. And doing this on the day that we vote on it, whatever the committee's pleasure is. Can I ask a question of Mr. Kelly for a moment through the chair? So the assistant to the deputy director of innovation, the proposed position, that's changing from what was the previous position? Is that a new position or a new title for an existing position?
It's a new title for an existing position.
What's the existing position that it's replacing?
Eval Analyst 1.
Eval Analyst 1. And what And can you just tell me what that position is exact, what that position is doing?
So it's going to be a combination of type of like, we need a business analyst skill set and hopefully some experience in the performance measurement side, at least experience in KPIs or health metrics and organizations. So the business analyst is really an important part of that role.
Okay, thank you.
Can we just, so you're going to basically split the two, remove one? Can you explain that again?
What do you mean? Nothing has been presented yet, but there's a couple of things happening at once, it sounds like. There's one option is to keep this position and remove this amendment and instead change it to removing the deputy position.
The deputy budget director, which is correct. The position that Chris is currently.
Yeah, and that's in the spirit of compromise. That's what Legislative Rock is proposing. The other part is Legislative Bartels is discussing is about changing the number of hours that people work to, which effectively becomes an increase in salary. Go ahead, Legislative.
The compromise is to grow the size of government, but only by a much smaller amount.
What will the salary remain at?
114,000.
But it's only going to be performing one function.
Yes and no. I mean, it's the director of budget and innovation. So it sounds like two focuses already. It doesn't sound like just innovation. It's the director of budget and innovation.
But if we remove the one component, you're left with just one.
No. There are two different positions. Okay. There's a deputy director of budget.
Which is the position Chris is currently in.
So instead of backfilling that position, if this is, it's already been said, Chris would be the deputy director of budget, or he would be the director of budget and innovation. And instead of backfilling his deputy position right now, we would not have that position. That position would get eliminated. So he would move up, but that back position would not be filled in. I think Legislator Bartels, you had your hand up.
No, you explained it.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we still haven't voted on this yet. So is anybody going to make an amendment, or do you want to do that later?
We did vote on this.
We didn't go follow through. I only asked for in favor, and we stopped because Legislator Bartels had a question on it, so we stopped.
I thought we voted actually on it, did the vote.
Thanks. I'm confident in moving forward on this until such time as the executive accepts some sort of a compromise, which has already been proposed.
Okay. There's Legislator Bartels.
And I would just clarify with Amber if she could write up the compromise, if you want to write it as two separate resolutions, one just removing second position and one addressing the salaries. Thank you.
All in favor of eliminating the position of Director of Budget Innovation?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? One opposed? One opposed.
I'm sorry. I'm on the fence because I guess for the moment I'll be in favor, but I want to say that I really would like to see the compromise.
Me too.
Through. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but this makes it open for that. It's still open for that. It's not, we're not like shutting the door or anything of that nature. Yeah. We just voted on this. We can make a change on very easily.
I'll remain a no, but I'm strongly in support of seeing the compromise that we've discussed.
And just correct me if I'm wrong, Legislator Ronk, you're the sponsor of this. If the compromise passes as well, you could and probably are willing, I'm assuming, to withdraw this.
I am. I mean, quite frankly, if the executive staff, which is with us tonight, were willing to bring it to the executive tonight, which they've made it clear they're not, I would be, we could have this handled by tonight, but they've taken it under advisement, kind of like Dave's request for the resumes.
So this is in case, it sounds like, Legislator Bartels, the other amendment does not go through.
Yeah, I'll remain a no for now. I mean, I'll have the opportunity on the, this is all coming to the floor, but like I said, I prefer to see the alternative.
Okay, so we have one opposed. All right, motion is carried. Thank you. Number 18, Commissioner of Finance, Legislator Rock.
Thanks.
Do you want to make a motion?
I'll move it.
Second, Lister Walter. Discussion, Lister Ronk.
Thanks. You know, I think that, you know, the work that the Commissioner of Finance does is worth a salary commensurate with a, deputy county executive, which is what this does. And commissioners of finance in the surrounding counties are paid more. I want to make it abundantly clear again, I didn't even talk to him about this before putting it forward. To me, this is a position that's, you know, when many positions in the executive's office have gotten large salary increases, this is one that hasn't been talked about, discussed, considered, you know, to my knowledge, and I think that we should move forward on this.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 1-2 opposed? All right. Motion is carried. Mental health personnel, resolution 19. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second, Walter. Discussion? Let's say Walter.
So this is removing the commission. Yeah, so I'm just going to reiterate, not take too much time. I feel like this is especially important at this time. I want to see our mental health services be at a caliber that they, even beyond what they were before we privatized it so poorly. So I feel like this is a huge department. It manages a lot of money, a lot of grants, a lot of services, a lot of data. This is probably one of, you know, a highly complex department. And so I'm just stating that I'm not in favor of this.
Trustee Bertels and then Ron.
Yeah, I want to echo Legislator Walter's comments. You know, I really was compelled when hearing the description in the earlier Ways and Means meeting of all the work that is currently done and is going to be done. I think it's important. I mean, I think it's important as well to just even signal that we're taking mental health that seriously by creating a commissioner. It sends a message. And I look forward to the changes in the department and expansion of services. I agree that, and I was here for it, that the privatization of mental health appears to have been a bad decision that resulted in a diminishment of services.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not going to belabor this either. I respectfully disagree with legislators Walter and Bartels. This isn't unprivatizing the mental health services. This is just adding to the administration while the services stay privatized, which to me is, you know, throwing good money after bad if your argument is that the privatization hurt the mental health system in Ulster County. So now we're just going to go back to having a commissioner who's going to oversee something that's not run by county personnel. We have somebody who's in charge of mental health, from a county perspective on the administration side. If that person's not being empowered to do what has to be done, you know, making $15,000 less, then that's a management problem for the county executive between him and the commissioner of health, not necessarily a problem that can be solved with a title change and, you know, a couple more staff members. Again, I respectfully, I don't know how you solve a clinical problem with administration, and that hasn't been made clear enough to me. I support it, but I'm certain it's going to fail anyway. So,
Chair Donaldson.
I'm a little confused about what this amendment actually is, because the mental health personnel, I mean, they're creating a new mental health czar or whatever, I think is what you're doing here. Is that correct?
Me? Negative. So the county executive's office has decided to, you know, rehire a commissioner of mental health, and then leave the deputy commissioner as well that's already in there, and then creates a couple more positions too in analysis. What this does is it eliminates the commissioner's position, which is being newly created, and instead invests in mental health specialists, because if there is a clinical problem, I think you solve that clinical problem with clinical staff.
I said,
well, that's what I'm trying to get at, how this position is going to help us deliver mental health services.
All right, let's do Walter.
Thanks. From my personal perspective, the problem with the privatization that occurred was because the county failed to maintain a sense of coordination over these services. We have a lot of really great private mental health services. We don't need to be the clinicians. There are great programs. But what we did is, as a county, is we washed our hands of the whole thing. We just sort of outsourced it and never really stayed on top of all of it. I mean, there are obviously elements we still continue to stay on top of because we got OMH money. But, you know, the failure was to not coordinate, manage, assure that all individuals who needed the treatment were getting it, to assure that all individuals who can provide the treatment are matched with those people who need it, to identify strategic plans in terms of enhanced programming that we can implement in the county. That's what our failure was. And this responds directly to that failure, because it is saying that we need to have the oversight over how mental health is being delivered in our county. We need to have the coordination of how mental health is delivered in our county. We don't need to be the clinicians, that we need to be the coordinators. We need to assure the services are provided. And so in this case, and I'm generally the person who supports the people on the ground over the people in the air, but this is the solution to what we did wrong, in my mind. I do highly support having mental health specialists also on the ground. And I know that is a part of the budget to have, you know, there are people already and they'll be, you know, that is there. She does care management, care navigation. I think with the, ideally, if we move the constituent outreach to ARPA, we'll find the utility of having another person who's really specializes in mental health, possibly as in constituent services. But I really feel like this responds very well to what we did wrong all those years ago.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any opposed as well? All right, motion defeated. Number 20, social services contractual. Can I have a motion? Chair Thompson, second. Bartels, discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Solicitor Archer, you're opposed or you're... No, okay, got it, thank you. All right, motion is carried. Number 21, facility space study. Can I have a motion?
Can you explain this one?
Go ahead.
Thanks, and I don't want to speak for Legislator Bartels, so if she'd like to go first, I'm fine with it. But this would be for a space utilization study to be done.
What are we thinking?
Oh, I have no idea.
There we go. You know, this would be for a space utilization study to be done. I understand that, you know, Public Works thought it would be quite a bit more expensive than this. I would be willing to amend the amendment if Legislator Bartels would, to a commensurate amount. I think that they said, what, 115?
I think they said 100. I thought they said 150, but I don't know.
150.
Okay. You know, I'd be more than happy to increase this. I don't know if we want to do that tonight or if we want to move it to the floor and then figure out, you know, because we're not going to take $150,000 out of contingency. So
right.
We're going to have to find a better place to take that money from, you know, perhaps savings from the compromise if that goes through. But I would be willing to move this forward now, you know, as it is, and then amend it on the floor if that's what you want, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm open to whatever way the committee wants to proceed. I think it's long overdue. And we've talked about this amongst ourselves and in various committees over time. And I'm happy that the executive's office is supportive. I think ultimately, ideally, we're going to save money as a result of it. And not a day goes by where we don't hear about space needs. We're talking right now about the potential of moving certain departments to Empire West. We have OET lease coming out. We have BOE. So there's a lot to do in short order. So yes. So I'm fine with moving it as is and then amending on the floor for the correct number or however the committee wants to proceed.
All right, Chair Johnson, then Rock.
First, I think when was the last time they did a space study?
2007.
I thought it was.
And it wasn't a full one.
It was 2007, I think. And who are you proposing that's going to do that study?
Well, we do an RFP, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Any other discussion?
And they're thinking that it's going to be 150.
That's what Buildings and Grounds. That's with an off-the-cuff estimate that they gave at the Ways and Means meeting.
Yeah. What do you have in this one right now?
45. Right now it's at 45.
Legislator Rock.
Thanks. I just to piggyback on some of the things that Legislator Bartel said. In addition to the current space needs, this budget significantly grows the size of government again and includes creation of new departments, which are going to need space when we're clamoring for space for the departments that currently exist. So I think that as we move forward, it gets more and more necessary to do a study to examine all the space in the county.
Legislator Archer.
To add to that, and this goes back to the whole improving transparency in the budget cycle, a five-year plan will add tremendous value to an understanding of directionally where we're going and what we should be considering as we're building budgets.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think actually it was in 2007, there was actually a space committee.
There was. That was 2008, but yeah. I was on that.
All right. So any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carried. Number 22, personnel contingency. Can I have a motion? Chair Donaldson, second. Legislator Walter, discussion. I'll just quickly say this was, several positions that we were going to move to contingency and seeing how the first quarter would go. Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I think I may have forgot to ask you this, but could you just share, because I know some of the new positions you didn't include in here. Was there a thought process in determining what would go into this and what wouldn't? Because I know I had put a resolution in to offset what you didn't put in, I think, for DPW. And so I just wanted to get a rationale from you on that.
Yeah, because same, you backfilled the ones that I didn't, because I was leaving ones that I was told others were putting in, but it turns out they didn't. So I didn't want to step on anybody else who said something to me ahead of time. I left them off of my list, but they didn't actually submit. So you did it instead. So I said, Archer.
Just to be clear, this is going into a contingency account. So basically, we have more time to gather information to make a better and informed decision as to why these positions need to be filled, why we're adding new positions back, and have a better understanding of directionally where the various departments are headed, correct?
Correct. And this was also done at a time where at the time, and Legislator Rock had brought it up earlier, is, I had a strong belief that the budget, the number for sales tax was completely out of whack. And after looking at it, or maybe it was Legislator Bartels who said that earlier, but I thought it was out of whack. And then after looking at it again, realizing that it's not, I have a softer stance on these positions than I did originally. But I left it in for discussion purposes and you know, that was the reason I left it on there. Legislator Walter.
Thank you. And you know, I appreciate the idea behind all of this. I guess for me, what's hard is the lumping, because some of these, and I'll just, you know, speak kind of more personally in the sheriff's office, the mental health, like some of these have gone through a lot of vetting and they were chosen for specific reasons and they need to hire them. There might be other ones which really could use taking time and thinking about what's the utility of it. But, you know, I only have them all on this. And so, you know, I have to sort of argue against, at least for those two areas, that they don't need more time to figure out why they're needed. We know.
And feel free to make an amendment to it if you'd like to remove positions from this list. Again, I put them all in there trying to not pick and choose. And that's why everything was on the table, so to speak.
Well, I mean, it all depends. If it's not going to pass, it's also on you, because you know, the information is different now that, you know, the sales tax revenue you feel more comfortable with. You also have the option to withdraw this, perhaps put in some of, you know, another one that has, because I'm hesitant, because I know a few I would take off, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't take off another one. It's just that I'm less informed about it. So it's not like I would leave it because I agreed. I would just leave it because I didn't know the answer. And so I feel less comfortable doing that than if you made, and you don't have to withdraw, but you know, if you did, or if you made amendments, but you know, I can only speak to the ones I know about.
I think that's a practical approach. I will withdraw the amendment. And then if between now and the actual vote, there are positions that we want to put in, we can make on the floor. All right, I'll withdraw that motion. Thank you. Number 23, Crisis Stabilization Center. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, discussion. Was this yours, Legislator Walter?
Yeah, I mean, I already explained why. If anyone's still not sure, I'm happy to do it again. But, you know, I know we have a lot to still cover. So
yeah.
If anyone feels on the fence on this and you want me to reiterate why I'm putting this forward, please let me know. If you're all in favor of it, then great.
I'd like to hear it.
Oh, sure. So this doesn't change the ARP total amount for mental health. My concern was taking the Crisis Stabilization Center and lumping it with the idea of a mental health hub, a single building, worried me, because the two are not requiring each other. I want the crisis stabilization is on its own, and the hub, and maybe the Crisis Stabilization Center will be in the same building as the hub, but maybe it won't be. And so I just separated them out from each other within the ARP. So no added money or anything like that. It's just separating the two so that we can proceed with the Crisis Stabilization Center as they explore what the hub should look like, or the hub, you know, that one doesn't hold off the other's work. I'm perfectly fine if it turns out that the right building supports it all, but maybe it doesn't, and I don't want to limit us to that. So it's just separating the two.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Legislator Haynes, you're opposed? One opposed. Thank you. Number 24, respite houses. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second. Legislator Walter, discussion. Legislator Walter.
I'll just again reiterate, because yeah. Chair Donaldson wasn't at the previous one. So I brought this up when we went over the capital plan. The respite houses, even though we approved the resolution, never made it into the capital plan. So it's just putting them in there. They are currently not under ARP because the ARP subcommittee hasn't talked about it, but there's every reason to believe that, you know, this could be covered with ARP also.
All those in favor? Opposed? Legislator Rock, you're in favor?
Yes.
Okay. All right, motion carried. I'm sorry, Legislator Haynes, were you a yes? I couldn't see.
No, you're no. Okay, sorry, one opposed. Number 25, Sheriff Personnel. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Ed Walter, second. Gronk, discussion? Legislator Walter?
Again, I'll just remind people. So this was an issue, again, a compression issue for three managerial type positions. And I just realized as I'm talking, Amber, that I never got you the backup. But I will provide the backup showing what the salaries, basically it's the same situation where the individual just beneath them are either making about the same or some cases higher. But to offset it, I have removed a deputy sheriff that's not a filled position. And I also removed the mental health person for a vert. And just to explain that, there were three, first of all, a vert, and speaking to Tara, there is a person in mental health who is helping a vert at this moment. And so we have, you know, there is already a person there, but also under mental health, they're adding a court advocate person, a liaison with mental health and criminal justice. So that person can also be supportive of AVERT if needed. And the public defender added a mental health person who will be working with courts and criminal justice. And that person, which is covered by Office of Indigent Legal Services. So there were basically three mental health people to do very similar types of jobs when, you know, AVERT is already getting some support for mental health. So it just seemed very redundant, and the sheriff was supportive of this, Tara was supportive of this, and it more than offsets the cost to improve those supervisors' positions to respond to both compression and just sort of right-sizing their salaries if you wanted to compare to other counties.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Number 26, Human Rights Commission. Is there a motion? Let's say Walter, second. Second, Bartels, discussion. Let's say Walter.
So this is also just to clarify, originally we were gonna put this person in as a part-time, which would leave the commission with two part-time people. They already have a tremendous amount of demands, even without the helpline. And there was support. There was a request from Tyrone, support from the executive's office, that there should be 1.5 people helping his department. But rather than take the current part-time person and move them full-time, they can't go full-time. So that would really make them not be able to stay in that position. So it was a much cleaner thing to make this helpline person also full-time, and it'd obviously be more than the helpline. They would be supporting the work of the commission as well.
So, you know, after having heard the commissioner at our laws and rules committee, you know, there was a kind of consensus in the committee to entertain the idea, but I for one would be a little more comfortable going into the year with the two part-timers to start, and then get a sense of how many calls he's fielding and how much work he's feeling. And then if he needs to extend the second, you know, the one of the part-timers to a full-time to run it throughout the year, that would make me a little more comfortable, but I'm open to the discussion.
Dr. Haynes and then Walter.
I found my answer in Tracy's response. Thank you.
Let's say Walter.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate that. I will have to say I've heard for over a year how much pressure he's been feeling in that office to manage the types of requests they're already doing. It's a very important office, and being operated with one full-time person and one part-time right now. And we're going to be putting more on them with this. It seems like we're not, it's important to stand behind human rights by saying that in the very least he should have a, you know, this is not a huge step that he's looking for. And I will just say that I heard it over a year ago the pressure he's feeling trying to do this, you know, maintain this office. And, you know, he's not doing some things he probably could be doing. It's a skeleton staff, to say the least. I mean, it's not even a whole skeleton.
Gee, this office has been increased over the years, because at one point the person had held this position and another. And then it got changed to just the human rights commissioner. And then we increased that with a staff member. So now we are increasing with another full staff member. I kind of agree with Legislator Bartels. I think let's find the numbers. Let's see what the numbers are. You know, that's what you guys should be doing the following year, is looking at those numbers, see what those calls are, see what, you know, how they're solved. And so I think it would make more sense to do the part-time at first, and then, you know, with the idea that maybe increase it to full time if it seems to be warranted.
I say, Walter.
Thanks. You know, you all can do how you feel. I just want to say it's not just simple counts of calls. When a call comes into the Human Rights Commission, if they're guiding someone to get the help they need, they hold their hands. They actually support them. They may go into the meeting with whoever they needed to go on to. And then if it seems to be, it's deemed a human rights violation, they fully investigate it. So I'm just cautioning you that the number of calls alone is not the metric as much as how much time and energy they put into each call and the work that they do behind it. So if you do want metrics, just, you know, I encourage you to get the right one.
And I'll just agree with Legislator Bartels and Chair Donaldson. You know, I think it's always easier to step things up then try to pull them back in, and you know, stepping into this slowly might prove to be prudent in the end, and it may not, but we can always add. It's harder to take away positions and half positions later. So any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
No. Okay,
Chair Donaldson.
What are we actually voting on at this point?
On the increased position.
The increase, okay.
Wait. Yeah, okay. Yes, the increase from a part-time to a full-time.
Yes. All right, Leslie Archer.
Can this be one of those that we would put in contingency under that personnel contingency, so the money is at least captured? And if in the first quarter, second quarter, they can come back and highlight the kind of work they're doing and why it's critical that, you know, we've got the available funds and we don't have to draw down from anywhere else.
Well, that legislator will have to go first, but go ahead.
Yeah, I would not be okay putting the whole position in there because he needs the position right now. I mean, even as the part-time, at the very least, he needs that right now.
I'm referring to the part-time.
Right. I'm saying
half the job and the benefits and all of that, put it in contingency, and have this person be a part-time person until we can better assess the type of activity.
You went on mute, Legislator Archer, but I think you were done. So I guess I'll just say quickly before Legislator Bartels goes, we could do it that way, but in reality, the money is going to come out of contingency, is going to come out of the, you know, fund balance anyway. So whether we actually put it into contingency or we just add it later, either way, it's sort of this six of one, half a dozen of the other, but we can do it either way. Legislator Bartels.
That's what I was just going to say.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so all those in favor, as it stands right now, adding the half position to a full-timer, all those in favor, aye. Opposed? All right, five opposed, motion defeated. Thank you. Number 27, Enterprise West CIP. Can I have a motion? Senator Archer, second.
Legislator Bartels, discussion? Legislator Archer?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Tim on this, and just so we're clear, and Amber's not here, but I will follow up with her. Oh, there she is. We just want to make sure that the funds that we have already committed to through resolution is either accounted for in this, and I defer to the finance team just to make sure what we're basically saying is future investments zeroed out. And so we'll commit to what we've already through resolution agreed to, but any new funding of capital projects for that facility just doesn't make sense at this juncture.
Amber?
That's correct. Anything that, any technical amendments that need to be done can easily be done. So if there's a purchase order that's outstanding or an invoice that hasn't yet been processed, we can easily amend the budget amendment to account for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just to be clear, not just in terms of a purchase order that's out, but again, rectifying it with resolutions so that if in fact we've approved something that hasn't even gone out to bid or to purchase order to the point of having a purchase order yet. I think by clarifying for Legislator Archer, she can correct me if I'm wrong, saying that those commitments would remain intact, but nothing new moving forward. So it would be more about justifying it against the resolutions that have already passed in terms of the figure approvals.
So this, as it's written, is just the actual expenses. It's not the budget that's been approved through resolution.
I think that what Legislator Archer was saying was that she was looking to honor what had been approved through resolution, but not anything further. So even if it hadn't gone out to bid or there wasn't a current PO that was waiting to be justified. So it involves a little more, I think, detail than the technical coordination of the POs, but actually going against the commitments by the legislature so far.
Yeah, some of the encumbrances may not be captured in New World, and so that's why he wanted to ensure that we follow up with finance just to make sure we've got everything.
Some may not even be encumbrances yet, because there may be portions of projects they just for whatever reason that we've approved, but that for whatever reason they haven't gone out to bid or made any expenditures of who knows. But again, I think it's looking against the commitments made by the legislature through resolution, honoring those commitments, but nothing further.
Legislator Cahill, then Chris.
Well, thank you very much, Chairman Guevara. I just want to make sure that I understand that clearly. So we're going to honor the commitments that we made in this current legislature and fund those, but the resolution will not fund any other additional expenses at Enterprise West. Is that what we're saying?
Mostly the answer is yes. What it does is we would have to, nothing's been approved yet, so their funding was in there for potential future projects, which we haven't even voted on yet. The idea is that we would honor anything that we previously agreed to, but nothing going forward would be in the budget.
So we're not going to renege on anything we already approved on, basically. Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Correct. All right. Chris?
I just want to say that if Amber or anyone needs help or on getting the numbers together, we're all happy to help.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? One opposed. Legislator Haynes. Motion carries. Number 28, Buildings and Grounds Administration. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Second Bartels, discussion. Legislator Chair Donaldson.
What is this one on?
I believe this is Legislator Archer, isn't it? Yeah, Legislator Archer.
Yes, thank you. The buildings and grounds, three positions, or actually one position that was not captured in the withdrawn personnel contingency. At this juncture, I'm on the buildings and grounds. We've gotten some backup information from from Brendan Masterson, and I feel pretty good. I'm willing to withdraw this one as well. Unless someone else wants to take a second look at some of these positions, but I'm going to go ahead and withdraw.
All right. Thank you. Number 29, maintenance of road and bridges. Motion. Was there Walter, second Archer, discussion?
Again, these were the positions that were left off the personnel contingency. If everyone was satisfied that, helping to build the cross-training and strengthening the in-house staff and their skill set so that they have more mobility, I'm willing to go ahead and withdraw this. I mean, I felt they gave us sufficient information unless someone else has some concerns.
Thank you. Number 30, Cornell Cooperative Extension. Have a motion? Legislator Walter, second Bartels, discussion. Legislator Haynes.
I did miss this. I wasn't here the other day. Are we now moving this into an actual line? Okay, great.
Legislator Walter.
Just for clarification, it's Cornell Cooperative Extension, Soil and Water, and Library.
Yep. All right. Any other discussion? I don't know if Legislative Parity had submitted anything to Amber or Natalie. Any comments? Did he contact either of you? No? Okay. He just would like, I spoke with him last evening. May not be related exactly, but last night it was mentioned that there's things that we have to be contracted through through the legislature, not the exec. Can somebody provide him and I think the entire committee the actual law behind that? That's sort of justifies that statement because he was confused by it. And to be honest, it sounds a little strange to me as well. But if we could just get that back up. All right. All those in favor? Opposed? All right. Motion carried. Number 31, ARP Assistant Director of Recovery and Resilience. A motion? Legislator Bartels, second. Legislator Walter, discussion. Chair Donaldson.
This was an error that was fixed. Is that correct?
Yeah. Who's?
Yeah, that was me. Yes, we were correcting an error, Dave.
All righty, very good. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Number 32, County Clerk, Account Clerk. A motion. Legislator Chair Donaldson, second Walter, discussion. Legislator Bartels? No? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Okay. Chair Donaldson?
I make a motion to put 541 through 544 together. It's basically maintenance in a sense.
541, it was, I didn't hear the second part.
541 through 544.
Okay, the motion to block and second. Okay, all those in favor? Opposed? Okay, on the block. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 545, authorize the commission plans to make transfers to budgetary amendments. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartel, second. Legislator Haynes, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 546, adopting those county budget fiscal year commencing January 1, 2022. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Second?
Jose Bartels. Any discussion? All those, Chair Donaldson?
We're voting on the budget as our amendments show. Was that correct?
Yeah. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 547, adopting the Ulster County Capital Program 2022 through 2027. Can I have a motion? Legislator Haynes, second.
As amended.
As amended, yes. I need a second. Chair Donaldson, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Any new business? Chair Donaldson?
Yes, if I do not get the, if they don't want to give us resumes for the ARPA money, I'm going to put amendment in to eliminate the positions, and we would be able to do a, to go out to bid for a consultant.
You're making that as a motion?
Yes, we did.
All right, can I get a second? Let's say Walter, our discussion. Okay. So, let's say Bartels.
You're doing an if-then amendment? Like,
how does actually, I don't need to go that far with it, but
yeah.
I mean, I just want to make sure that I want to get the resumes, and I think we should have them. I think the body should, you know, add that type of information on people that we're hiring to do this specialized work. You know, no different than when we, you know, hire others. When we actually confirm people, we get that. We also get them often when other people are hired. We find out what the resume is or what their resumes are. So, I mean, I think it's a reasonable request. I just casually asked it, and then when I find out, well, we're reviewing whether we're going to give you that information or not, I find that very troublesome.
Let's say Bartels, and then Haynes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a reasonable request, and I'm going to be hopeful that we get the resumes. I'm seeing nods in the executive's office. So I'm hopeful we're going to get the resumes, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Haynes?
Yeah, I agree with Chairman Donaldson. I think I'm going to remain optimistic that we're going to get those resumes right quick. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So you're going to withdraw, Chair Donaldson?
Well, I'll withdraw it for now.
Okay.
I'll do it on the floor.
Okay. Anything else? Can I have a motion to adjourn? Sir Walter, second, Chair Donaldson. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you all.
Have a nice Thanksgiving, everyone.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving.